Did you enjoy that tonight? Amen. I know I did. As a matter of fact, while the folks were singing, I just got my phone and I turned on the record button because I wanted to get a little bit of that and take it back to Southern California. And it's just so good to be here tonight. Thank you so much for being here, being a part of this midweek service. And aren't you glad to be a part of the family of God? Amen. I tell you what, it's a joy to just be in God's house with God's people, worshiping the one who is worthy of all of our worship, and appreciate the good singing by the choir tonight, both the adult choir, the youth choir. What a joy. What a privilege. Thank you for being so friendly. One of the guys said this is a three handshake church. So we shook hands three different times, and it was good all three times. Enjoyed getting to fellowship with some of you and appreciate the opportunity to be here. Brother Hall, thank you for having us tonight. It's a joy to be here. We want to mind the Lord. Listen, as he said, I'm from Southern California, not from Southern California, but I'm coming to you today from Southern California. But I'm not nervous about people visiting the altar and all of that. You feel free to mind the Lord as we worship him tonight. But just want to stop and just say thank you to Calvary Baptist Church of North Wilkesboro for having a part in our ministry there in Southern California. It's kind of exciting to know that as a part of a local church that our reach is beyond just our local Jerusalem. But we're getting out into Samaria and Judea and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm just thankful. I tell you, we're so thankful for the investment of this church into a small church in Los Angeles County, California. God has put us there in Santa Clarita, California. We're about 30 miles just outside of downtown Los Angeles, ministering to a community of 250,000 people. And in our immediate community, we are the only independent Baptist church in the entire community. And I know that's hard for folks, I used to live in this area, so it's hard for folks like us to understand. But what you guys have here is not very common out in that area. But God called us after serving for 7 years at Calvary in Union Grove under the leadership of my dad, Pastor Steve Pope. He called us out to Southern California to plant a church. And so we moved out in February of 2017. We began that process. And I'm excited to tell you, God's been working. People have been saved. And this past Sunday, we had almost 30 in attendance. And that's a big deal. We're getting ready to celebrate our 1 year anniversary in September. And so God's just so good. And it's a joy to serve the King of Kings today. And thank you so much for investing, for being a part of our ministry. I've got some pictures that I'd be happy to show any of you that would like to see them. We just recently moved from meeting in a hotel. We were meeting in a hotel conference room for quite a while, and God opened a door, and now we have our own place. We're meeting in a storefront building there in Santa Clarita, and we've just recently renovated that. We have a place where we can gather and worship, and God's just working in an amazing way. We've had 6 people graduate from discipleship through the summer, and we got people lined up to be baptized in a few weeks. And so, I mean, God's just working, and it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing, and thank you for having such an important part in our ministry there in Southern California. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 12 tonight. Romans chapter number 12 in the scripture. And I've got a clock up here, and I know what time it is. And so we'll keep an eye on that. Don't get worried. I won't keep you long tonight. I heard about this. I heard this story, and I hope it's okay if I share this story. But basically, I heard about this preacher and this taxi driver that went to heaven, and don't get me wrong, this is not theologically accurate, okay? So don't get nervous about this story. But the preacher and the taxi driver went to heaven, and Peter was beginning to guide them to their places where they would stay in heaven. And he took the preacher and took him to this palatial mansion. I mean, it had swimming pools and it had every amenity that you could ever wish, that you could ever ask for. And he told that taxi driver, he said, "This is where you're going to stay for all of eternity." And the taxi driver said, "Man, this is great. Thank you so much. I appreciate this so much." Well, he took the preacher down a little dirt road. There's no dirt roads in heaven, I know. All right. But he took this preacher down the dirt road, and there was a little cabin out in the backside of a hill. And he said, "All right, here's your place that you're going to spend the rest of eternity." And the preacher said, "Now, wait a second. I think you've got this all mixed up." He said, "I've been serving you all my life. I've been a preacher and really just pretty much just lived my whole life in service to you. And I get this little cabin, and that taxi driver gets that big palatial mansion." And Peter said, "Well, what you don't understand is while that taxi driver was driving all those people around, they were praying. And he said, while you were preaching, people were sleeping." And so I don't think that's how it's going to work. But we definitely don't want you to be sleeping while we're preaching tonight. So let's jump into the scripture, Romans chapter number 12, and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come into your house and, Lord, to be able to meet with your people and, Lord, hear these wonderful songs about you. And Lord, thank you for that wonderful song we just enjoyed, for the reality that you know our name, God, that we're a part of your family. We're your children adopted into the family of God. What a blessed thought that that is. Lord, I pray that you'd bless every, Lord, person that's come tonight. And I pray you would open their heart to the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with your spirit. God, eliminate any sin in my life, any pride that might be there. And just, Lord, help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each heart of each person that's represented here tonight. Thank you for your blessings. Well, thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. It's a joy to be a part of the family of God, a part of the body of Christ. And I just want to say a few things as I open this message that I hope will be helpful to our to your church family here at Calvary. I believe that God places unique people with distinct gifts into the body, the church. And he does that to provide maximum functionality, maximum gospel impact. And I want to say this tonight, that I believe that as a church body, we will only have maximum gospel impact on our community as we each embrace our individual and unique role in the body. I want to talk to you tonight about this subject, somebody in his body. Somebody in his body. One writer said this, each believer has a gift or gifts to be used for the building up of the body and for the perfecting of the other members of the body. In short, we belong to each other, we minister to each other, and we need each other. Boy, how we need functioning bodies of Christ all across this world. I'm talking about local churches that are banding together for the proclamation of the gospel into our community and around the world. Isn't that what we need in 2018? As Pastor said, there's no question. We live in a day and age of apostasy. We live in a wicked and godless and perverse culture. But boy, what we need is some churches that will band together as the body of Christ and say, you know what? I have a role in my church and I have a function in my church. And as a church family, we need to function so that we can get the gospel out into the world. But sadly, we see many churches around the world, many church bodies, so to speak, that are dysfunctional. Why is that? Let me give you a couple thoughts and then we'll jump right into our text tonight. Why is it that we have so many dysfunctional church bodies in 2018? I believe one of the reasons is because nobody knows what their particular role is. They've never discovered their spiritual gift and they've never began using that spiritual gift in the right place. One writer said this, each member has its form, place, and use. Imagine a football team that went out on the field and nobody knew what position they were going to play and nobody knew who was going to be the quarterback. Nobody knew who was going to be the wide receiver. Nobody knew who was going to be on the offensive line. They just went out there without any idea of what was going to happen on the field. How many of you know that would be complete and total chaos? Yes, sir. Each individual player has a role, has a responsibility, and that team will only be effective in their goal as each person embraces their role. Sadly, in many churches, there are people who never have figured out what their role is. They don't know what their role is in the body. How many of you know in an organization, in a company, everybody needs to know what their role is. Everybody needs to know what their responsibility is in order for them to achieve success. One writer said, we should do the duties of our own place and not murmur or quarrel with others. All the members of the body are useful and necessary to each other. Right. I'm talking about being somebody in his body. Aren't you glad to be a part of the local church tonight? And you have a place here in this church and at Calvary Baptist in North Wilkesboro. You have a role to fill. Many churches are dysfunctional because nobody knows what their role is. I thought about this. Many churches are dysfunctional because other members are trying to fill a role that they were never intended to fill. As we, as we'll see today, when I don't personally fulfill my role, chances are somebody else will have to pick up my slack. And it causes dysfunction rather than maximum functionality, rather than maximum gospel impact in our churches. But I want to say that God never intended for there to be this idea of people who are not filling their roles. God has a unique and God has an important role for each of us. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. And as we continue in the message, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want us to look at verse number 12, and we're going to read down through verse number 20. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look down with me at verse number 12. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you are somebody in His body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number 12. The Bible says, Paul is writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Now notice what Paul says in verse 15. "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" I love what he says in verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" Notice verse 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body." If you were to look in Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, not our text verse tonight, but Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5 say this, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Now I want to talk about you as somebody in His body. Now, I think as we think about dysfunction in the body and we begin to talk about somebody who may be causing that dysfunction, we probably have a tendency to begin to think about other people in the church who are causing that dysfunction. But I want tonight the spotlight to be directly on you. And I want you to ask yourself this question: am I being an effective member in this body? Because I want to say this tonight, just as that African-American spiritual said, "It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer." And I want to say tonight, church family, that this church body will not be effective if you as an individual member are not effective. Somebody said this: "This is my church. It is composed of people just like me. It will be friendly if I am. It will do a great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I am generous. It will bring others into its fellowship if I bring them. Its seats will be filled if I fill them. It will be a church of loyalty, love, faith, and service if I, who make it what it is, am filled with these. Therefore, with God's help, I dedicate myself to the task of being all these things that I want my church to be." Don't you want to be a part of a church body that is functional, a part of a church body that is having maximum gospel impact on your community? I hope you want to be a part of that. I want to talk to you tonight about how we can be somebody in His body. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 1. Paul's writing in to the church at Rome. And the first thing he says is, you need to be somebody saved. Write those two words down. Somebody saved. Look at verse number 1. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore," what's the next word? Brethren. Let me go back and try it one more time. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." If you were to go look up the word brethren, you'd find that it's a word that means a fellow believer. Speaks of those who are exalted to the same heavenly place. And You may say, Pastor Zach, or Zach, this is an obvious point. I mean, obviously, if I'm going to be a part of the body, I have to be saved. But I wonder tonight if it's not a point that's all too often overlooked in many churches.
Right.
We just assume that everybody that is attending the church is a part of the body. But did you know that's not the case?
Right.
We're not made a part of the body of Christ by attending church.
Right.
We're not made a part of the body of Christ by being baptized in the water back here in the baptistry.
Right.
We are made a part of the body of Christ, hear me out tonight, by faith in Jesus Christ, by faith in the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I know it's a Wednesday night crowd. I know this is probably the core group of this church, and I've met a lot of really nice people in here tonight. But I just want to come right out and ask you this question tonight. Do you know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation? Take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 3 with me right quick. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. I don't think it can be much clearer than the way Paul puts it in Galatians 3 verse number 26. Look at it with me. Paul says this, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, Paul uses the word brethren. I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's speaking of those children that have been adopted into the family of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And I want to say tonight to you that are here this evening that trying to serve God, trying to minister in the body of Christ while not being saved is like trying to drive a car that has a blown engine. Trying to minister in the body of Christ and not being saved is like a dead man trying to work. It just won't work. And so I want you to know tonight that you can be a part of the body of Christ, a part of the family of God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says in the verse. He says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, notice this, by the mercies of God. What was he talking about? The mercies of God. Well, look back with me at chapter 11 and verse number 32, Romans chapter 11 and verse number 32. I think we get a pretty clear definition of what Paul's been talking about in the first 11 chapters. Chapter 11 and verse number 32, Paul says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief." Why? "That he might have mercy upon all." God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Somebody said that mercy is God not giving us what we absolutely deserve. What did we deserve in the sight of a holy and a just God? You and I deserved judgment. What did we deserve in the sight of a holy and a just God? We as sinners deserve to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. But aren't you thankful tonight for a God who is abundant in his mercy? Amen. Not giving us what we absolutely deserve. We can do better than that, can't we? I tell you what, we deserve to spend eternity separated from God, but he saved us, that he sent his only, I love John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it good to be a part of the family of God? Amen. Sure is. To be partakers of his mercy. Now, I think you can relate to what Paul's talking about here when he talks about mercy. How many of you have ever been out on the highway and you've been, maybe you were late for work and you were speeding, going a little too fast, and you know how it feels. You see those blue lights shining in your behind your car in your rearview mirror, and your heart gets heavy, and all of a sudden the police officer pulls you over on the side of the road and comes up to your window and he says, "Now, sir or ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over today?" You say, "Well, I'm late for work and probably because I was speeding." And he says, "Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly why I pulled you over. You were doing 70 in a 55. Anybody ever been there before? And he says, "You're absolutely guilty and you absolutely deserve to be judged. You deserve to pay the fine." But how many have ever heard those glorious words, "I'm going to give you a warning today"? He doesn't give us what we absolutely deserve. You see, in the sight of a holy God, we had breached His holiness. We had encroached upon His holiness. We had broken His law. We deserve to spend eternity. In fact, Romans chapter 8 says we were condemned already. But I love Romans chapter 5. Would you take your Bibles and flip over there? If you want to see a picture of the mercy of God on display, just go to Romans chapter 5 and go to verse number 6. And we're going to see a picture of God's mercy. And I love what preachers said, and he requested that song. I'm still amazed. Are we still amazed at the mercy of God?
Amen.
Oh my. The gospel, has it become just old news to you, or is it still the good news to you? Look at Romans 5 verse 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Can I just say tonight to Calvary Baptist in North Wilkesboro that this is the mercy of God on display. Salvation that we absolutely did not deserve. Well, I read this week one author who said that mercy is, write this down, compassion for the miserable. We were miserable. We were sinners. We were condemned, and we deserved to spend eternity separated from our Creator, but God commendeth His love toward us.
Amen.
Thank God for the love of our God. When somebody said, when sinners give up all hope of saving themselves, they are prepared to understand God's word and to trust in His mercy through Jesus Christ. Have you been saved tonight?
Amen.
I hope so. But if you're here tonight and you say, really, to be honest with you, I'm not somebody who is saved. Can I tell you how you can be? Everybody listen right up here. I want to give you a very brief but clear explanation of how you can become a part of the body of Christ. Are you ready? Here it is. Simply, first of all, admit that you are a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Letter B, believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, died on the cross in your place. Believe that He fully paid sin's debt that you owed. Believe that He conquered death and hell and the grave. Believe that He rose from the grave. And this is as simple as it is. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus, that He died, rose, and was, that He died, was buried, and rose again. And letter C is call. Call on God to save you. Ask Him right now to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. And I'm glad to report tonight, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, I know it's a Wednesday night crowd. But God told me to preach this tonight, so somebody needs it. Amen. We need to start right here. Are you somebody that is saved? Let's just be real plain and blunt tonight. Can you just say with 100% assurance, I know that I know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven? Not because I'm a church member, not because I'm a good person, not because I've been baptized, not because my grandparents were good, godly people, but because I have put my faith in Jesus Christ, the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Letter B, or number two, not only somebody saved, but here's the next thing, somebody surrendered. Look what he says. I beseech you, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, here it is, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So now that we've settled the salvation issue, let's move on to the next issue that we must examine in the text, and that is surrender. The question is no longer, are you saved? But the question now the author poses are you fully surrendered? Notice two words in the text, the word present and the word sacrifice. Now these two words lead us to understand and to consider the Old Testament sacrifices that were commanded by God. In fact, if you go study the book of Leviticus, you'll find in the book of Leviticus that 18 times in that book of the Bible, when we read about the different sacrifices, here's the words that we read, without blemish. The sacrifice that was to be offered was to be offered without blemish. It's a word that means complete, perfect, sincerely, sound, without spot, undefiled, and upright. So basically what this means, the person who was offering the sacrifice could not take a lamb from their flock that had broken limbs. The person who was offering the sacrifice could not take a lamb that was diseased. They could not take a lamb that was undesirable or unwanted. But hear me tonight. Hear me, church family, those who are saved. This sacrifice that was to be given was to be a sacrifice that was as close to perfection as possible. It was to be a sacrifice, here's the word, that was complete. And may I say that even today, God is not looking for halfway or half-hearted sacrifices. God is not looking for one small part of our lives. But hear me, and hear me well tonight, young people and old people alike, hear me tonight. God is looking for people who will give them all of their lives. A complete sacrifice to God. We sing that song sometimes, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. We get to the chorus and we sing, I surrender all. But as one preacher said, maybe if we were going to be honest in the church, many of us would have to sing, I surrender some. I surrender most. But very few can sing, I surrender all. We see here in the text that he challenges them to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. And before they can ever be a functional body, a church body, they each individually had to sacrifice their individual bodies. Did you get a hold of what I just said? I hope so. We need to present our bodies individually to God as a complete sacrifice. Somebody said, what's the best gift that we can give to God today? And here's the answer. In gratitude and humility and love, we can give ourselves completely to Him. Heart, mind, and will. It's just what the Lord is longing to receive from each of us. I love this. They said, the best gift we can give to God is ourselves. One writer said this, the key to powerful living is not getting something more from God, but giving all that we have to Him. Oh my. Have we surrendered all to Jesus? Have we surrendered our lives to God? We'll never be a functional church body until each person has surrendered themselves to God. You see, sacrifice precedes service. Sadly, many Christians in this day and time, they want to find out what it is that God wants them to do. They want to find out what God's plan and His desire is, and then they'll decide if they will surrender and serve. But you see, that's not how it works. The reality is God uses those who are already surrendered. John R. Rice said, God wants volunteers, not draftees. I just wonder tonight, are you surrendered? I know I'm a guest preacher, I'm a missionary. I just want to challenge you tonight. First of all, are you somebody who is saved? Second of all, if you are saved, praise God, but are you somebody who is surrendered? Have you laid down your body as a living sacrifice to God? Somebody said the problem with a living sacrifice is that it can crawl off of the altar. And how true that is. Somebody saved, somebody surrendered. Letter C, somebody sanctified. Look what he says in the text. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, many people want the verse to end right there, but it continues. What's the next word?
Holy.
Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he continues. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, it may not be my place to come in and preach standards and separation and all that. And so don't worry about that. I won't go there. I'll let your pastor do that. But the reality is sanctification, being made into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is absolutely a doctrine that is in the Word of God. What is sanctification? Sometimes we think that's a big theological word. I'm a little scared of it. Basically, sanctification is the perfecting process that is accomplished by the Holy Spirit in the believer as we daily yield to His will. And as we have, I hope that you have taken some time to dig into the Scriptures and let God begin to point out. The reality is there is a positional holiness. We are in Christ. We are viewed by God as absolutely holy. And that's the reason why I'm going to heaven someday. Not because I'm good and not because I'm wearing a suit coat and all of these things. That's not, has nothing to do with that. My position is in Christ. That's positional holiness. But church, hear me. I believe there's something we could talk about called practical holiness. And that's where we live out our identity in Christ on a daily basis. See, some people believe that just because, well, I, positionally, I'm in Christ, Jesus or God views me as completely holy because he sees the blood, and so I can go over here and live any old way that I want to live. But that goes contrary to our text where it says we cannot be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are to submit to the Word of God. And I want to say tonight this, that there are two kinds of people in this auditorium tonight. Those who are living in direct submission to God's Word or in direct contradiction to God's Word. Are you somebody who is sanctified, being created in the image of Jesus Christ? We are to offer our bodies holy, acceptable unto God. You know the verse, but and you won't have to turn there, but 1 Peter chapter number 1 says this in verse 15 and 16, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And you go look the word up, conversation. It's not just talking about the words that come out of our mouth. It's talking about our lifestyle. We are to live a holy, set apart, sanctified lifestyle because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Would you turn over there with me right quick? Colossians chapter number 3. Am I doing all right, preacher? Is everything all right? Is it good? Everything's good. Colossians chapter number 3. I'll be done in just a moment. I hope somebody's getting some help. Hey, I want to see, and I believe this already is, but I would love to see this church body have maximum gospel impact on this community and around the world. But it will only happen as people, we have somebody, remember that somebody is you, somebody who's saved, somebody who's surrendered, somebody who's sanctified. Look at it, Colossians 3, verse number 9. Look what the Bible says. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Notice verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Bill Bright, in his book, Discover the Book That God Wrote, said this. The process of sanctification can be compared to an iceberg, which is almost 90% underwater. As the sun shines on the iceberg, the exposed part melts, moving the lower part upward. And in the same way, we are usually aware of only a small part of our sinfulness and need, which is all we can deal with at any one time. However, as the light of God's work in our lives changes us in the areas we know about, we become aware of new areas needing the work of God. Are you being created in the image of Jesus Christ? Can I remind you what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a, do you know it? New creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I remember my dad sharing the story when he was preaching about this young boy who lived in the state of Illinois. And every day on his, he would have to walk to school. And every day on his walk to school, he would walk through a campus of a college. Every day he walked through the courtyard of that college to get to his school. And one day he noticed that something was a little different than it had ever been before. On this particular day, when he walked through the courtyard of that college, there was a large, big piece of stone that they had set out in the middle of that courtyard, and they had set up some scaffolding around that stone, and he thought, that's interesting. He went to school, and on his way back, he noticed there was a man standing up on the scaffolding with a chisel in one hand and a hammer in the other hand, and he was chiseling away at that stone. And the little boy stood mesmerized and watched as this man worked on that stone and went back home. And the next day he came, same process. And he every day stopped to see what this man was doing. And finally one day he tugged that man on the shirt and he said, sir, what are you doing? The man said, I'm a sculptor and I'm sculpting a sculpture of Abraham Lincoln out of this piece of rock. And the little boy said, how do you do that? And the sculptor said this, well, son, actually, it's pretty easy. I just take everything away from this stone that doesn't look like Abraham Lincoln. I thought, what an accurate picture of the process of sanctification. I have a question for you. Is God taking away some things out of your life to make you more like his son, Jesus? Is God putting some things into your life to make you more like Jesus? That's somebody who is sanctified. So we see somebody saved, somebody surrendered, somebody sanctified. Notice verses 2 and 3, we see somebody serving. Look at it with me in the text, verse number 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Notice in the middle of the verse it says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, look what he says, to every man. Notice those two words, every man. that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Can I say something to you this morning that, or this evening, that God has a purpose for every person that he has purchased? Amen. If you're saved tonight, born again, a part of the family of God, the body of Christ, hear me out tonight. God has a plan. God has a will. God has a desire. God has a job for you to do. But I'm glad that God is not only a God who has something for us to do, but he has equipped us for the job. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He has given us unique gifts that can maximize the effect of this church. And I just have one question to you tonight. Are you serving in the body of Christ? What's your place in this church? And are you fulfilling your responsibility? Somebody who is serving. I believe here in the text we see three people that represent every person in this auditorium tonight. The first is the person that I would label as superior. Notice what Paul says in the text. He says that we are not to think of ourselves, look at it, more highly than we ought to think. So there are these people in the church that are superior. They think that they are God's gift to the church and that it's their responsibility to do everything. They think they're gifted in every part and that they can do just anything and that they have to do everything. But can I tell you, that's not the reality. God has not called me or you to do everything in the body of Christ. But then there is another person, I believe, that's inferred in the text, and that would be the word sub, S-U-B. The word sub meaning there are people who think that God has left them with nothing to do. So you have some people who think that it's their responsibility to do everything, and then on this side, you have some people who think that they have nothing to do for God. They have no gifts, no talents, nothing to offer to God. But here's the word that the text uses that I think should define each and every one of us, and that is the word sober. Look at it with me in the text. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Here it is. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you have those who have superior thoughts, thinking God has called them to do everything. Those who have sub thoughts, thinking God has nothing for me to do. But then you have those who have sober thoughts, and this is what they say: God has given me a job. God has given me a gift to use in his service. That's what God wants for you in this church. Isn't it good to know that God has a plan, a purpose, a desire? You may think, you know, it's just so random that God brought me to Calvary Baptist in North Wilkesboro. No, it's not random. God put you here for a reason. And God did not put you here to do everything. And God did not put you here to do nothing. But hear me, church family, God has put you here to do something for him. And as each member in the body realizes, you know what, I am somebody in his body, and they realize what it is that God wants them to do, and they act on that, you know what can happen? This church can have maximum gospel impact in this community and around the world. So what's the conclusion? Number one, are you somebody that is saved? If not, you can be saved tonight. That's amazing. You can become a part of the body of Christ tonight by faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, are you somebody who is surrendered? Is your all on the altar? Have you surrendered all to Jesus? Are you offering a complete sacrifice to God? Are you somebody who is sanctified, being made into the image of Jesus? And finally, are you somebody who is serving? Let's bow our heads tonight. I hope I didn't preach too long. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, I have a question for you tonight, church family. I'm going to let Pastor take over in just a moment. But are you surrendered? Are you being sanctified? Are you serving? Father, would you take the word tonight? I know your word doesn't return void. And Lord, I'm thankful that even, Lord, through the worst means of communication, you can speak a powerful message. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you take the truth of the word and that you would help it to provide maximum function for this church body, that they would serve you with their hearts and their lives and truly impact their community and impact this world with the gospel. Lord, we pray your will would be done. Help us to consider the truth of the word. In Jesus' name, Brother Hall, come on.
Folks, are you somebody in his body as we stand to our feet tonight?